Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. We are engaged in a Fridays in April study talking about bringing children to Jesus. And today we want to step maybe a little beyond children, talking about bringing others to Jesus in general. Roger, we have taken this opportunity in tandem with the relaunch of our Bible classes. We're excited about that here at Charlestown Road. We've had a great buzz on Sundays and Wednesdays. But I thought for today we could ask an intriguing question. What do I wish every student in Bible class knew? When you hear that, what comes to your mind?
And that's a great question. I mean, I think that's a question that goes from the teacher of the smallest kids to the adult who's teaching the auditorium class. There are certain things that we just wish everyone had. Not everybody does, but we wish they did. And as we go through, we got kind of a list of some things we're going to walk through. Both Jason and I are both. We are teachers, but we're also still students. And that's the way God wants you to be all your life. He wants you to take what you've learned, teach others, to keep learning and to growing from that. Let's begin with a passage. I think this is a great passage that kind of leads right to what we're going to talk about this day. And that's in Acts 18 and starting verse 24. It says, "Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. He was mighty in scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." There we see the teacher, we see the student. And although Apollos was powerful, preaching already, he still had the role of being a student and learning some things. And so as we begin this thought, what I wish every student or Bible class student knew, I begin first of all with the value and the importance of the Bible, that it is God's Word. And there's all kinds of wonderful, wonderful studies from your class books to different helps about the Bible, but nothing will ever replace the Bible. And to imagine in your hands or on your tablet or on your phone or whatever device you use that the God of heaven has spoken his will to all of us. And it's not locked away in a treasure chest. It's not just reserved for the elite few in the society. It's not given just to kings. It's given to you. And the God that spoke to Noah, spoke to Abraham, the Lord that walked on this earth, he has this message for you. And when you see that and you value that and you understand this comes before all things, it comes before my thoughts, it comes before what a church says, this is the Word of God. Wow, what a powerful, powerful place to begin.
Yeah, I would just build on that and offer, I wish every student in Bible class knew the goal of learning the Bible is getting to know the author of the Bible. I think a lot of times it's really easy for Bible classes, or at least our conception of them, to boil down to, okay, there's a certain amount of information that I got to get in my head, a certain amount of facts that I've got to memorize, names I've got to become acquainted with, and lists I've got to master, and all of those things are good. But God has given us his word that we might know him. And when we can get that in our minds, personal Bible studies and Bible classes just have the potential to come alive. What else, Roger? Do you wish every student of the Bible knew?
And let me just tag one other thing to that.
Sure.
To that first one. And that is, when we come to Bible class, that's what it is. It's a class on the Bible. It's not craft time for the little ones. Now, they may have some crafts, but that's not the main focus. The main focus is learning what God says. It's not comedy hour. There's not, you know, the main thing is I'm coming to learn the Bible. And that should be understood by the teacher and the student, and that will help so much. I think a second thing that every student needs to know is that their teacher loves them. And their teacher wants them to succeed spiritually. And their teacher really hopes that they are learning and becoming what God wants them to be. And that they have vested a lot of time and energy thinking, what's the best way to teach this? What's the best approach? What's the best way that's going to kind of get through these students' mind? Whether you talk about a junior high class or you talk about an adult Wednesday night class, you know, they've worked all day and they're tired and here they come. And the teacher has put a lot of thought into this. And if the student understood this, how much the teacher really, really believes in them and loves them, what a difference that would make.
You and I have the opportunity a lot of times to see teachers here during the week. And what students, young and old, see in the classroom a lot of times, as you well know, is just the tip of the iceberg with a whole bulk of preparation beneath the waterline, right? And you and I both are always so encouraged when we see teachers here, teachers mining that resource room, teachers preparing classrooms, teachers making sure bulletin boards and on and on and on it goes, is all prepared because they love and they care for their students. I would add somewhat of another layer just to that idea. I know as I think back to high school, I've got to imagine one of the biggest obstacles to a teacher is connecting with the student at the what am I ever going to do with this level? You know, a lot of times students, they're hearing something from a school teacher or a Bible class teacher, maybe even, and they've got it in their minds, well, that's all well and good, but when am I ever going to use this? And I wish every student in Bible class knew that God has provided what he's provided so that we can be thoroughly equipped. We're told that at the very end of 2 Timothy chapter 3. So powerful, even when I don't see it right now, to go back and learn stories of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, or Joseph. Roger, you recently spent an entire quarter in the life of Joseph, or Hannah, or Esther, just on and on and on it goes. You never know in everyday life how being acquainted with those old stories might be of help right here in the 21st century.
You know, years ago when newspaper editors, and I even did this when I was editing church bulletins, sometimes when you run a story, there's a little leftover space at the bottom, and you just didn't want to have a blank page. They called it filler, and they may put in a little advertisement, or they may put in a little short story or something just to fill the page, and that's why it was called. It was filler. It wasn't the main story, but it's just a little bit of thing just to kind of fill out the page. We need to understand God has no filler. Every word is there for a reason. Every story has a purpose. Every scripture is inspired by God and profitable. And so when we understand that, we realize that, you know, you look at these stories and here's these pages and pages. I can't even pronounce these guys' names. I don't understand all this. But years later, there may be something I'm going to get from that. You know, Romans 16, Paul names all those people. Why does that matter? Why don't we just go to Romans 15 and skip chapter 16? God put chapter 16 in there for a reason.
Absolutely.
One reason is everybody is important. We forget that. Everybody plays a role. Everybody back then had a role to help Paul become Paul. And that helps us to think about the church today. So there's parts of that that as a young person, you may not see the value of this. I don't get Leviticus, you might say. That's just long. Why do we even have a Leviticus today? Well, years later, you're going to see about the holiness of God, about the value of worship and doing things God's way. Those are the lessons that come out of that. And when we understand that every page, every word is essential, what a difference that would make. I would also add, as we're looking at this question, what I wish every student of the Bible knew, I would add that growth and learning is a journey. It's a process. There's no shortcut. And as you do this, it takes time. And, you know, you get two people and some are faster because of their background than others. And it sometimes can be kind of a slow journey, but you stay with it and you stay with it and you keep adding and using it, and it will help you. Now, while you're on this journey, you'll come to some crossroads. And what you've always thought, what you've always heard, to what God actually says. And then you got to make a decision. Am I going to follow God now, or I'm going to go with what I always thought was right? I've always heard this. Now what am I going to do? And learning is just an important step in us becoming. And I think that's what Jason was trying to say a while ago, is that it's not just a matter of getting facts, okay? I can name the kings. I can name the apostles. I can name the books of the Bible. Those are great facts. But what we're talking about is changing your character, changing your heart, becoming what the Lord wants you to become. That's the true avenue here of what we're doing in this. So it's not just teaching Bible stories. It's impacting people to be disciples of Jesus.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We can have one fill in the blank and both come up just with a variety of answers. All of them, I think, valuable. I would add, doubt is real. It is okay to have questions. Having doubts does not make you a bad person. I am so thankful for those glimpses in the Bible, even though it would have been painful in the moment to be that person. I'm thankful for the account of Thomas in John chapter 20. I'm thankful for that man who cried out to Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." It is okay to have questions. And I think it is very important for all of us as teachers to make sure that in those environments, we are welcoming questions. We don't put people down when they ask questions. We don't scoff at that. We want Bible class to be a safe place to ask good and honest questions. But I will qualify it there. Those need to be honest questions, right? Doubts need to be handled. When doubt is just left to fester in my heart and I'm struggling, but I don't let anybody know. I never ask for help. I never ask someone with a lot of experience in the Bible and they've walked with Jesus for a long time. That doubt can be toxic, but that is absolutely one thing I wish every student in Bible class knew, that truth has nothing to fear from honest investigation.
And what you do with that doubt, that's what's so important. You know, when we study the life of Thomas, and he wasn't there, and he said, "Unless I touch those nail prints, I'm not going to believe he was raised." And then we see 8 days later, Jesus appears. Where's Thomas? He's with the apostles. He's not in a bar. He's not in some gutter somewhere. What has he done for the past week? He's been with the apostles. And don't you think he was asking them? Don't you think he was talking to the women who went to that tomb? And over, he was not feeding his doubts. He was finding the answers. And then when the Lord appeared, he knew. He knew. And so it's okay to have questions. Now, every teacher faces this. Sometimes a student wants to be kind of cute. He wants to be a little smart aleck. He wants to stump the teacher, okay? Those may not be honest questions. And from a student's perspective, it's okay to ask a question. But don't just be the class clown.
Right.
Because that's a waste of time. And that really shows that you're not interested in God's word. But to ask this question, it may be a hard question. And it may take more than one time for the teacher to answer it. Or sometimes it's not on the topic.
Right.
And the teacher may say, "Well, you know what? We're studying this and your question's over here." Instead of getting sidetracked, let me talk to you privately about this.
Yeah.
And there's a great avenue for doing that. But those are wonderful things to see. I would also add that, you know, there's more than one way of studying the Bible. Oftentimes, as we go through a book, for instance, I'm teaching the book of 1 Timothy. We often just think the only way to look at it is go chapter 1, verse by verse by verse by verse by verse by verse. And first of all, we need to do that. If you need to do that in your life. You need to know what the Lord said and the way he said it. But once you've gone through that, I mean, you can go through that 40 times, and after a while you think, well, I've been through this 40 times, here we go again. There are other ways you can study the Bible. One time I went through the Gospel of Mark just privately, and all I was looking for was questions. Questions that people asked Jesus, how did he answer them? Questions that Jesus asked, how did the people deal with that? And I didn't pay attention to the miracles, didn't pay attention. All I was looking for was questions. And it just opened up a whole world of study for me, just a fascinating study. You can do that with lots of different topics as you look at that. But first of all, you got to know the story. You got to know the book. Got to go through it. But after that, don't get typecast in thinking that there's only one way to study the Bible, and after a while, this gets kind of dull and boring. It doesn't. It never does. And you put your heart and imagination in that, and to do that, I would also add, what I wish every student of the Bible class knew is that it's important for you to open that Bible at home.
Absolutely.
Don't just leave your Bible study only to church building. You need to be doing it on your own. And while you may be studying 1 Timothy, as I'm teaching right now, on your own, in the public class, dive off of that. Look at some other things. Look at how other preachers were addressed in the New Testament. Look at some things Paul said to Titus and Apollos and some of these other men. But do your own studying, and that will add more to your faith and to your growth as God wants you to.
Yeah. I would add to this, I wish every student in Bible class knew how refreshing genuine encouragement really is. Roger, you and I both are blessed on Sundays and Wednesdays to have people walk right by us, and oftentimes we're just conversating about things going on in the world or things going on here around the church building. But when someone stops and they look you in the eye and they express appreciation for everything you've poured your heart into for the last week in preparing, that is, to borrow from the book of Proverbs, that is like a tall, ice-cold glass of water on a really hot day. It really means a lot.
It does. And so from a student's perspective, that's something you ought to do. You ought to thank your teacher, and you ought to realize that they are pouring hours and hours and hours into a 30-minute class. And while you're sitting there for 30 minutes listening to this teacher has been working on things and studying and doing all kinds of things, and just kind of narrowing it down to those last 30 minutes, but they have just poured lots of things in there. And every teacher, one time, was where you're sitting. They were a student.
Yeah.
And they grew and they grew and they became. And so, you know, the very ideas we've talked about before, the idea that someday, man, maybe you can teach and you can see what they're doing and you see the value of that. It's just wonderful, wonderful things. It's life changing. It affects your family's legacy. It affects eternity. That's why we do these things.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I could go on and on and on. I know this has not been an exhaustive list by any means, but any final thing that you would add to the end of that list?
Well, you know, I think more than anything else would be what heaven wants us to know, what God wants us to know.
Yeah.
And that is, you're doing what's right. In the course of your life, you'll get the opportunity to read lots of things, from class booklets to newspapers and magazines, all kinds of stuff crosses the table we get to read. But to read the Word of God and to know the Word of God, that is the greatest thing you'll ever have in your life. It will stay with you. It will change you. It will make you a better person. It can lead you to heaven. And I think more than anything else, the God of heaven wants you to know this is what you're doing is right, and he loves that.
Very well said. We've been talking all month about bringing people to Jesus. That is not wasted effort. And we have heard from listeners here locally and far, far away from Southern Indiana. Thank you for the encouragement that you have offered. The last year in many ways was difficult, but we are seeing encouraging things all around us. We want you to hear loud and clear, bringing others, whatever their age, bringing children to Jesus. That is not wasted effort. If you've missed any of these episodes, on the first Friday in April, we offered some encouragement to parents. Second Friday, encouragement for teachers. Part three, last Friday, Roger and I talked very personally about teachers who have helped us. We hope that this episode has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey, maybe a little encouragement to step outside of your comfort zone. God uses teachers to change lives. And we hope that maybe this has been just a little more encouragement along the way. Thanks for listening to the Heavenbound Podcast. And we encourage you to always remember, when you are walking with Jesus, you are heavenbound and the best is yet to come.